Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our Eternal Light story today, Messenger of Prayer, was written by Irv Tunick and features Henry Rosenblatt singing the songs of his father, cantor Joseph Rosenblatt. Alexander Scorby is your narrator, and Peter Capel plays the role of cantor Joseph Rosenblatt.
Friday afternoon, all during the week, little Yosle Rosenblatt suffered from his sighs. Life was hard enough at home with 9 older sisters to plague him minute by minute, but away from home it was worse. In the streets, because he was small, the other boys would surround him, bully him, torture him with the exquisite finesse of children having fun. But on Shabbat, on Friday after sundown and on Saturday, little Yosele Rosenblatt would clamber up on a little box, close his eyes, and sing. And all the congregation of Chernovitz, the old men, the boys, the women, the girls, all of them would hear the sweetness of his song and feel an intimacy with God. Barely 5 foot tall, looking more like 13, when he was 18 and already cantor of the Chernovitz Synagogue, a tall man in the uniform of the Emperor's Hussars paid him a visit.
You are Joseph Rosenblatt?
Yes, sir.
You sing?
Yes, sir.
Hmm.
I am Joseph Rosenblatt. I sing.
I believe we've already established that point. There's no chance of a mistake, huh? You're the only Joseph Rosenblatt in Chernovitz that sings.
That is true.
Then you must be the singer, Joseph Rosenblatt.
I would say, sir, that such a conclusion is wholly obtainable upon the facts.
Ah.
And now, what can I do for you?
My name is Holnus, Major Holnus.
Rosenblatt. Joseph Rosenblatt.
An honor.
Likewise.
I come with a message from His Imperial Majesty, our beloved Emperor Franz Joseph. His Majesty has heard of your remarkable voice and requests your presence at court.
The Emperor wants me to sing for him?
He does.
Great honor.
An extraordinary honor.
Please inform His Majesty that I am enormously grateful for his invitation.
Yes, and then
and
you will be...
deeply regretful that I cannot accept.
You decline His Majesty's invitation?
I am afraid I must.
But you can't.
Nevertheless, I must.
His Majesty commands it.
Commands what?
Commands that you appear before his court and sing.
His Majesty may command me to appear before his court, but... he cannot command me to sing. Isn't that so, Major Holness?
Why is it so?
Because my body belongs to His Majesty, but My song belongs to God.
What?
Major, among the Jews, music is considered a divine art. The prophet Elisha said, "But now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him.
I make no pretense of understanding your obscure theological references.
Let me put it plain as I can. Here in the synagogue of Chernovitz, I am a cantor. A shaliach tzibur, a messenger of prayer. My song is a link, a bridge between men and God. My songs are the wings that carry prayers between men and God. They are not meant for amusement, for entertainment. Don't you see?
No.
Oh, certainly you do. You must. Please tell His Majesty that I refuse his invitation only because I know that I could not do justice to his kindness. He would not hear my song because he does not understand my faith. My song is a prayer. I can pray before God, but not before Franz Josef.
He believed this. Joseph Rosenblatt believed that his songs were the wings of prayer, that his voice was the chariot of prayer between men and God. When he sang in the synagogue, his voice spanned the harmonics of melody as prayer spans the harmonics of faith.
Sur Yisroel, Sur Yisroel, Kum Abayezeras, Beyezeras Yisroel. Ufadei chinomecho Yehudo Yisroel Hoi vetsur Yisroel kumo Kumo beyevel zeros Beyezras Yisroel Ufedeve chinomecho Yeyuvodo, yeyuvodo beyil zeroel Goyan leve veyenu Goya leno tsuris ro wel tsuris ro wel goya leno como beyaz ros como beyaz ros beyaz ros y sero wel ufaday ufaday kino me yo ne yo bodo ye yo do beyaz Goya leinu adoy shem tzivoy shemoy kidosh Yisroel Baruch atu adoy shem Goya Goya
Years older and already married, Joseph Rosenblatt, humble at the honor, accepted the invitation of the Jewish congregation of Hamburg and came to them as their cantor. But in Hamburg, where there should have been nothing but joy, in Hamburg he found conflict.
Yosele, what is it now?
Now it is the same as yesterday, and yesterday before yesterday, and every day since I came here. Over, how much can a man stand? How much can any man take of this? Constantly, always bickering, arguing.
Sit down. Take off your shoes.
How can a man be angry with his shoes off?
Why must you be angry?
Because I have cause. They are trying to bully me into singing as I cannot sing, as I never will be able to sing. Yostel, they say. They come up to me with sweet, sweet smiles. They take me around the shoulders. Yostel, they say, and they wag their fingers at me. Yostel, you must not sing the liturgy the way you want to sing it. You must sing it the way it is written, not repeating a single word. Yostel, you're being naughty. What do they want from me?
They want you to stop improvising.
Aha. So Zimmermann has been here?
Mrs. Zimmermann.
What did you tell her?
Well, I told her a recipe for making strudel. Imagine, Ursula, she doesn't slam down the dough. I told her always you must slam down
the
dough.
What did you tell her when she said I should stop improvising when I sing the liturgy?
I told her that singing the liturgy is not like making strudel. When a person makes strudel, then they must always do the same thing in the same way. But when you sing, when you pray, then you must go to God in your own manner.
You understand me, Tobin.
Take off your shoes.
If I could only get them to see it as clearly as I see it. I try to explain. I honestly try. I tell them that when I'm singing in the synagogue, my brain does not control my voice, only my heart. If my heart says a word should be repeated, then I repeat the word. If I feel that at a certain point I should pause, then I pause. If suddenly my heart is overflowing with joy, then my song overflows. It is in my heart. I cannot help it.
Here are your slippers.
So what is there to do?
Yosele, you had a letter from America last week. What did it say?
Letter? What letter?
The one from America.
I had a letter from America?
You put it in your pocket.
Which pocket?
The inside pocket.
Here?
No, there, there.
Look, a letter. From America. Well, well.
Oh, you open it.
Well, of course. Imagine a letter from America. Toby, this is a very important letter. It was careless of you not to remind me that I'd forgotten to open it before.
And what does it say?
It is from the congregation of Tzedek in New York City. They want me to come there. To New York City as their cantor. So, what a coincidence. Just when I have reached the limit of my endurance here in Hamburg, just when I can take it no longer, this letter comes. It is like a miracle. Just at this moment, a miracle. Wait. Not so fast, a miracle. You knew about this letter, Tobe.
I saw it come.
You knew what it said.
Yes. I knew.
How much did you have to do with this miracle, Toby? Tell me now the truth.
You're unhappy here. They're trying to hold you fast in chains of tradition, but I know you, Yosele. No one can clip your wings. No one. So I thought of you and freedom, and that made me think of America. I wrote your sister in New York.
Now it all comes out.
You're angry with me.
You're
it. I'm sorry.
You should be. Plotting behind my back. Fixing up deals. Who ever heard of such a thing? I'm going out.
Where?
To Zimmermann. Tobe, I'm going to ask him to accept my resignation.
Oh, Yosef.
America, here we come.
Shuloim aleichem alachia, shuloim
aleichem. Yosef.
Yes, Tobele?
Yosef, in polite society, a cantor does not offer his resignation to the president of the congregation in his carpet slippers. Better put on your shoes.
Good afternoon, Cantor Rosenblatt.
Afternoon, good afternoon.
Yesterday in Shul, it was wonderful. The way you sang, it made my prayers come so swiftly. Before you came, I rarely went to the synagogue, but now, always, always.
Cantor Rosenblatt.
Yes, my son.
Please, Cantor, the boys asked me to ask you something.
Yes?
Why is your beard so long?
Why is my beard so long? Well, you tell the boys that a cantor is not worth 2 cents without his voice. And how do you lose your voice? From catching cold. And how do you catch cold? From drafts. And how do you avoid drafts? By wearing something warm. And why do I wear a beard? Because it is warm. It keeps me from drafts, so I do not catch cold, so I do not lose my voice. Here, take this quart and buy ice cream for the boys. And tell them not to be such nosy bodies.
Canter Rosenblatt.
Oh, Chaim. Did you get the job?
No, I was too late.
Oh, too bad. No money?
No.
Here, take this.
I try, honestly.
Of course you do. Alone.
Yes, that's it. I'll pay you back.
Of course. No hurry. Do not worry about it.
Bless you. Bless you.
Oh, Yosra, please. I must sit down.
This is the top. The top of the Palisades. Look, Toba, across the river. Oh, in New York City.
Oh, you're happy here. It's good that we came.
It is good that there was a place like America to come to. A man can sing here as his heart tells him to sing.
They came to the synagogue, the critics, the lovers of music. They crowded the synagogue when he sang, and they wrote long articles about the short man with the heavenly voice. And one day he had a visitor.
I am Campanini.
I am Rosenblatt.
Cantor Rosenblatt, you no longer can deny the world the beauty of your voice. It is not permissible. I, Campanini, declare it is not permissible.
My voice is denied to no one.
I say it is. I say you are cheating the world of a treasure by your refusal to sing upon the stage. Cantor Rosenblatt, as the director of the Chicago Grand Opera Company, I demand that you come with me at once.
To Chicago?
You will play the leading role in our special production of La Juive by Jacques Halévy. Think of it. The opera house filled to overflowing. The symphony in the pit. The curtain rises. And you, Cantor Rosenblatt.
And I, Cantor Rosenblatt, will be in New York.
No!
Yes. Campanini. I am a cantor. I am not an opera singer.
I will make you as great as Caruso.
I have no desire to be an opera singer. I don't believe it. Wait, I will tell you a story, Mr. Campanini. You know what a shochet is?
No.
A shochet is a man who slaughters animals according to Jewish law. Well, in a certain town in the old country, there was a cantor who was also a shochet. One day, he decided he might also like to become a sofer.
A sofer?
A writer of scrolls. He would be a cantor, a shochet, and a sofer. He would sing in temples, slaughter cows, and write scrolls. Now this man, who wanted to be three men, went to a very learned rabbi for advice. The rabbi explained to this man that Satan always finds it difficult to tempt each man individually. He has therefore devised a plan whereby his task of temptation is made doubly easy by combining two men in one. Let us say, a cantor and a shochet.
Or,
now he proceeds another step forward. He persuades one man to unite three positions in himself, cantor, shochet, and sofer. The rabbi then reminded this man that if he were truly loyal to one occupation, he would have enough work to keep him forever out of the way of temptation.
But cantor Rosenblatt...
I have enough work now, Mr. Campanini. Believe me, it keeps me out of the road of temptation.
His earnings were large, but his giving was larger. That was his weakness, his giving. When there was a sad story to hear, no one heard it more quickly than Cantor Rosenblatt. And no one felt its sorrow more deeply than Cantor Rosenblatt. And no one gave more quickly than Cantor Rosenblatt. That was his weakness. He suffered from a chronic inability to say no. And so he found himself in trouble.
Oh, they'll wait a little longer, but only a little longer, Ursula. They must have their money.
I know. I'm a bad provider, Toby.
You're a good provider, but too many people.
What is there to be done?
Well, we can move to a small apartment, give up the place.
1,000 little economies like that would not make up a fraction of what I owe. No, the answer is not that. It is strange that there can be evil in charity.
Evil?
The Talmud tells us that we must not give away more than 1/5 of what we have, or our loved ones and those around us will suffer. Tober, I have given away more than my 1/5. And yet I can never stop giving, not while I live. If men are in need, then their need cries out to me and I must give. Tober, would it be wrong to sacrifice one principle for the sake of a higher principle?
You mean go on the stage?
Is there another way out?
You must do nothing but what you believe is right, Ursula.
I have fought against it, Tober, always. When Franz Josef commanded me to sing at court, I refused. When Campanini invited me to Chicago, I refused. I have said, I believe, that my songs are sacred and not for sale. If it were only myself, only my family, I would still hold to my principle. But there are others who are at stake. So many of them, Tober. Who would care for them? Who would worry with them? Who?
Ursula, when you sing, no matter where you sing, your voice brings people nearer God. Today, more than ever today, people need wings for their prayers. The same God that you sing to in the temple will hear you in the music halls. He's there. He's everywhere.
Cantor Joseph Rosenblatt made his own terms with the stage.
One ticket, please.
Yes, sir.
What will Cantor Rosenblatt sing tonight, do you know?
He won't be singing tonight.
No? It says on the sign he's here all week.
That's right, all week except Friday night and Saturday. He doesn't sing here on the Sabbath. Tonight he sings in the synagogue.
Tober, come sit on this trunk with me. Maybe we can get it to close.
Oh, when the devil has nothing else to do, he gives people the idea to travel so that he can plague them with packing.
1, 2... Again.
Yeah.
1, 2...
Oh, that's all we need now, company.
Oh, Henry.
Hiya, Pop. Mom, all packed?
Almost finished. Did you get the tickets?
Right here.
Exactly as I planned?
Yep, exactly.
Tober, listen. I'm surprised. You know where we are going?
Oh, what a question. All day I've been making out trunk tags, and he asked me if I know where we're going. We're going to Europe for a concert tour. There. Am I a smart one?
No. This is something special. A real surprise. Almost like another honeymoon. Tober, I have changed our route so that we will have time to go to Palestine.
Palestine?
Eretz Yisrael. Oh. Tober, I do not know what it is, but just at the last minute I made up my mind. Something inside of me said to visit Palestine. It will be a pilgrimage. A pilgrimage to Zion.
Palestine, in Zion, the little man climbed a high hill and looked at the sweet land of Galilee. He was without words, but not without song. On a hilltop, with the warm softness of the breeze to carry the beauty of his voice to Zion, he sang a song.
Shir ha-malos b'shuvat Hashem eshivat Zion hoyinu ketolmim.
When the Lord brought back those that turned to Zion, we were like unto them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the nations, the Lord hath done great things with us. We are rejoiced. Turn our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the dry land. Though he goeth on his way weeping that beareth the measure of his seed, he shall come home with joy, bearing his sheaves. And it was his last song. This song he sang upon a hill in Zion. The harp that had told him to repeat a word of the liturgy, that told him to pause at a certain point, that caused his song to overflow. The harp that had whispered Palestine at the moment of departing. That harp ceased to beat. The little man with the great voice came home to Zion with joy, bearing his sheaves. Eternal Light Drama today, Messenger of Prayer, was written by Irv Tunick. The music was composed by Morris Mimorski and conducted by Milton Catons. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Henry Rosenblatt sang and arranged the songs of his father, Cantor Joseph Rosenblatt. And Arnold Pinsky of the Abraham Nadel Choir was the soloist as a child. Alexander Scourby was featured as narrator, and the role of Cantor Rosenblatt was played by Peter Capel. The entire production was under the direction of Edward King. Present the Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America in cooperation with the National Broadcasting Company. If you would like a copy of today's script, you may receive it by sending your name and address with 10 cents to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.